All right.
Yeah. Nah, I think I got myself in trouble, so. Enough for one day, so I'll have to wait until next week. Yeah. That's right. I mean, hey, hallelujah. Man. She forget to give me any money.
I gave it to you. It was like the last day. You didn't pick it up.
I remember the next time you sticked up in that.
We know who handles the money at the house now.
Yeah. I'm just like the rest of y'all, too.
Yeah, I know. That's what
I got some, but.
You sure you didn't pick it up? I handed it to you.
Yeah, I got some. Yeah, I got something. Hallelujah. I ain't gonna worry about it. Praise God.
Oh, it's 100.
I'll give that one to you, Hannah. It's all right. Amen. I tell you what. Good to know the Lord tonight.
Amen.
It really is good to know Him. I tell you what, He's better to me than I am to Him, and I'm not bragging about that at all. But I tell you what, because I know I need to be a whole lot better to Him, because He has done so much for me. But we'll tonight turn into the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And I may skip to some other chapters also, but where the main part is going to come from, the message tonight is going to come from Proverbs, chapter 3. It don't look like no snow outside, does it? It looks warm, it looks pretty outside, but I tell you, I don't think it's pretty outside, but it's not warm. It's a little on the chilly side. But just like I said this morning, thank the Lord that we can go outside and have a fresh breeze come our way. But here, this evening for a few minutes, we're not going to keep you too long tonight, because I think we need to get on back to the house, and I know the Lord, you know, the Lord's still going to bless us also, because I tell you, we need to be mindful to each one that's here tonight. We thank you for coming out. I'm really surprised that people would want to come out tonight, and the visitor also wanting to come and be a part of the service tonight. But you know, I'm so thankful that one day, some going on right by 35 years now, the Lord came by and He touched me. And He just didn't touch just a little portion of me. He touched me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. And I'm all His, and He's all mine. But tonight, we want to get into Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment. for length of days and a long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from thee. It says back up here, that says, forget not my laws. He here, right here, when he's talking about my law, he's speaking about the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. And he's talking and he's speaking about that. But not only that, he also comes down and he speaks to our own heart today. Also, he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. We as Christians today, we as the New Testament believers, and we are living under the grace. We're not living under the law anymore. But thanks God for that, that we don't have to live under the law, because we could not keep the law. And that's the reason he come about and he give us two commandments to keep. And the first commandment, we must love God first of all. He has to be number one in our life above anything and anybody else. He has to be number one in my life before my wife and before my daughter, before my family and before my church. He has got to be number one in my life. And after that, then it tells me I must love thine neighbor. I must love my neighbor as he loves me. Now, I know that some people look at it like we must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But I don't believe he's speaking about that. I believe that what he's saying is that we must love our neighbor as we love him. And that's the only thing that because he is nothing but love. He is love, and he is peace, he is joy, he is everlasting, and he is forever and evermore. But thanks be to God for that, that he is the one that we need to lean to. We're not to lean not to our own understanding, because if we lean to our own understanding, it's nothing in this book that we can understand. We cannot understand John 3:16 if we lean upon our understanding of what John 3:16 says. But we must lean upon his understanding. And his understanding is in the Word of God. And we have the Word of God that we can look at. We have the Word of God that we can just go to, and we can see where he can take the Word of God and he can touch our hearts, he can touch our souls, he can touch the inner being of a man. And it says over here in verse 7 in chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. We that does not want to have and do not want to understand the Word of God and do not want to take the instructions that is in this book right here and learn from it so we can learn wisdom and we can have knowledge about the Word of God. It says, what does it say? It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We must fear the Lord before we can ever be able to understand the precious Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools. You know, something just come to my attention about that word right there, fools. You know, when it comes towards the end of March, we're going to have people, and we're going to have certain people out here is going to say, well, we should not even think about even celebrating Christmas. We should not celebrate all the holidays. We should not celebrate Christmas. We should not celebrate Thanksgiving. And we surely should not celebrate Easter. And you know who they are? You know who they are in talking about that? They said, why should we have, why should the people, why should the president, why is the Congress, why is the Senate have all these holidays set aside for people today? Because they don't have a holiday set aside for us. You know who they are? The atheists. But they do have a holiday. You know what the holiday is? April the 1st. April Fool. Because it says in God's word, an individual that does not believe is a fool. Shall we go give him some more water if you don't mind, please? But wisdom and instructions. The only place that we can ever get the wisdom and instruction is from the King James Bible. We cannot get it from no New Living Translation. We cannot get it from no non-perversion Bible. And that's what they are. They're all perversions. Excuse me, nice. I got something in my throat. I don't know what it is. What's that, this
one? No. But
back over here in chapter 3, it says, for the length of days and long life and peace. For the length of days and a long life brings about what? Brings about peace. Peace to the inward soul of a man. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. We must acknowledge who we are speaking about. And who are we speaking about? God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If we acknowledge who he is, then he will come to us and he will say, follow me. And if you follow me, I will remove all the obstacles that's in your way. I will remove all the stumbling blocks that's going to come your way. But you have to acknowledge me. We have to acknowledge him, and we have to know when he speaks to our hearts. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord. Somebody asked me one time, says, what do you mean about fearing the Lord, the fear of the Lord? What do you mean by that? We must fear the Lord. Well, I take it this way, that I must fear the Lord in such a way that I need to watch in what I do, in what I say, the way I walk, and everything. Because see, if I don't fear him, then I'm going to be likely to stumble. And when I stumble, what happens? I'm going to stumble right into sin. But we must fear the Lord that, hey, Lord, I don't want to do anything today that will bring a shame and a reproach upon you. Lord, I don't want to do nothing today that will cause you any kind of embarrassment or cause you for any kind of shame. Because see, God and the Lord Jesus Christ, see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked on this earth. He walked upon the ground that we walked on. And we must not bring no kind of shame or reproach to him. Why? Because we must look to him. We must look to him for our faith. We must look to him for our strength. We must look to him for our wisdom. We must look to him for our knowledge. We must look to him for our understanding. We must look to him for our strength. We must look to him for everything that we want and we need for our life. We need to look to him for it. Because if we don't, then it's all going to be a sham. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bone. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy first fruit of all thine increase. We must look to him. We must look to him for what he gives us in our first fruit. Now, people don't like preachers talking about the first fruit. They don't like us to say anything about that. But we have to say it. Excuse me. But we have to say it because we need to honor the Lord. And we can give him back so much. We can give him all we've got. I can go and I can sell my home and I could give him every bit of what I make off of my home and selling it, and I could give it to him. I could give him everything that I have, all of my substance unto him. But see, he don't want it all. He don't want it all. He don't want 90% of what I earn. He just wants 10% of it. That's all he wants, is 10% of it. And if we give him 10% in our substance, in our earnings, in our first fruit, then he can take the other 90% and he can touch that in a way to where I can turn that 90% into 150% or 200%. Because God does not expect us to give something to him and then for him not to give us nothing back. But you know what I love? I love to give him 10% of my money. I love to give him 10% of my earnings. But let me tell you what. But when I go beyond that, and then I give him the sacrifice, that's what he blesses me on. That's what he says. Donnie says, I'm going to just bless you this week. Hey, the Lord's blessed me so much in my ministry and in my time and everything, because I want him to have it all, but I can't give it to him all. Why? Because I got a family I got to raise. Why? Because he's given me a church to where I've got to see it be built up. And it can meet the obligations. He's given me a church family to where I can do what I can for them. I can help them in any way I can with prayer. And I love helping people. I said to myself one time, I said, you know something? I said, Lord, if you just allowed me to win these men, these million-dollar drawings I am. I said, one thing about it, Satan wouldn't get no part of it. I said, I'd help people that needed the help. But then I'd come back and I'd say something to him and I said, well, Lord, you know, for me to win it, I've got to play it. And I understand you don't want me to play it, because you call it gambling. So God, I said, I'm not going to have to be able to win it that way. You give it to me. Ever how you want to give it to me. God is right there in heaven. And where he told Daniel there, he told Daniel, he spoke to Daniel, said, Daniel, you go upstairs. You go upstairs to the highest point in your home. And when you get there, you go to the east part of the room up there. And you open the windows. And you pray there 3 times a day. That's the only thing I asked.
David to do was pray three times a day. David done exactly what the Lord asked him to do. Then as he was doing that, then what happened? He heard from God. He said, he said over in the book of Malachi, he says, I'll open the windows of heaven. You just look into the windows of heaven, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out on you a storehouse full of blessings. Every day that we get up, you know what he says to the child of God? You know what he says? You know what does he say to each one of us? He says, dear daughter, dear son, I got a storehouse up here and it's just overflowing. I need to get rid of some of it. Some of it has got your names on it. Will you come and get it today? Will you come out? Will you speak for it today? And you know, then we'll go out and whether it's on a job or whatever, we'll go out and we'll say to someone, say, you know something? God has sure has been good to us. God, and God has. God has blessed the United States of America to the point that we done got so tied up in it that we forgot about him. How many people that you know of, and probably we could sit here right tonight and you could start writing down right now yourself. And I could start writing down, each and every one could write down on a piece of paper the people that we know of ourselves that used to be in church, used to be Sunday school teachers, used to be deacons, used to be ushers in a church, used to be here and could sing in a choir. Used to come to church. But what happened? God has blessed them to the point that they don't think that they need God no more. God has blessed us. I mean, we have a church where we could come in out of the cool out. We couldn't go outside. We wouldn't want to go outside and stand in the cool out at night, would we? No, none of us would. None of us would want to be able to stand in a building where you can see through the boards and where the boards won't meet and where they drew up and all of that. And got cracks there. And where you can feel the wind coming through. When was the last time that we went and we went to church and we sat on pews that where they had the wooden pews there and had the wood slats there and the slats were so far apart. And they was nailed down, and the nails would be sticking up. And if you got up, if one got up and one sat down, then the next, if they'd pinch you. When was the last time we've had that? When's the last time that we was in a service like that? When was the last time that we was in a service that we had to take out and we had to go and make sure that we could find some fans from the funeral home to put fans in all the pews and have enough for everybody to have at least two, where it could be fanning this way and that way to keep from sweating, keep from getting that warm and that hot. When's the last time we experienced that? But you know what? I think sometimes we need to experience that. We need to go back. We need to experience the old time of worship. Because what happened? When you didn't have no padded pew, when you had the slats, when you didn't have no air conditioning, and you didn't have no heat, the only heat you had was a potbelly stove there. And you had to go and cut wood and stoke wood to it to have some heat in the fall and the winter. I think sometimes it would do us all good if we went back to it for at least a month. It would do us all good. But we couldn't stand it. You want me to tell you why? Because I could come up here and say, well, I tell you what. Starting the 1st of March to the end of March, the whole month of March, we're not going to come into the sanctuary. We're going to go up here and we're going to kind of put a little sheet around the outside there to keep the wind really blowing in. But we're going to fix some benches out here with some slats on it where we can sit down. I wonder how many would show up the next Sunday, starting the 1st of March. You'd have some out. You'd have some come because they love God that much. But you'd have some that say, well, you know, I don't know if I can take it. I just don't know if I can stand it. I think I'm going to just have to wait on and wait till when April gets back. Because I know they're going to start meeting in the sanctuary again. Where we got the padded pews. And we got the heat and we got the air conditioning. And we got lights. And we don't have to worry about the wind coming in and blowing on us. We've been spoiled. God has spoiled us. Has spoiled us to the point that where he himself is ashamed of what he's allowed for us to have, I believe, because it's not that many people anymore that wants to come to the house of the Lord. They say, well, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, so I ain't got to worry about it no more. I ain't got to worry about going to church every Sunday. I don't have to go to every Sunday night. I don't have to go to every Wednesday night. I don't have to go to church no more. I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know exactly when I come to the altar, and I got saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, they've memorized all of that.
They know what the preacher's told them. They know what they've been said in the church, and they've memorized all of that. But what they don't remember is, and what they forgot to listen to, is that once you come and you get saved, you're going to become a new creature. Your old habits are going to be gone. And you got some new habits that's going to take place. And you're going to want to love to be in the house of the Lord. Right after I got saved, I could not wait until the next time we had church. I couldn't wait. From Sunday morning to Sunday night, I felt like it was a month for me to go back to church. From Sunday morning to Sunday night. And then from Sunday night to Wednesday, I felt like, hey, man, Wednesday was not going to never come. Why? Because I wanted to be in church. Why did I want to be in church? I wanted to be in church where I could learn more about my Lord. Yes, I could learn it in Him. But you know something? But when you got somebody that's taking the Bible and telling you what the Word of God is saying, they're speaking. You can remember what they say. I can remember what an individual tells me more than what that if they give me a little small book and then they say, you just go and read this and you take this and it'll be the same thing as what I'm telling you. Not to me, it's not. I just love my Lord tonight. I really love Him tonight. I tell you what, I say this. I tell you how much I love Him. That if the United States government come about, and I ain't saying that they will not do it one day. They ever come around and says, Donnie, says, I understand that you're a pastor and you're a preacher down at Faith Baptist Church. And you believe in the Bible, right? Yes, sir, I do. 100%. And then if you take the outside cover, it'll be 110%. And if the United States government told me right then, says, what books you have at the house, what Bibles you got, we're going to take them all away. You cannot keep nothing. You can't even pray anymore. You can't go to church anymore because the church doors is going to be closed. And you can't say anything about your God. And you can't worship Him. You can't even go out here and bow your head and worship Him. You want to tell you what I would feel like doing? I believe I would rather take a 345 and put it to my head. And commit suicide than not be able to worship my Lord and my Savior. That's how much I love Him.
But let me tell you what. I do not think as a saved Christian, an individual has been saved and bought by the blood and been pardoned and where the name was written down in the Lamb's book, one book of life. I don't believe they're going to ever have to go through anything like that. Because I believe that God's going to say, son, and he ain't going to have to say it real loud to him because his son is sitting right beside him on his right hand. And I believe the Lord's going to, here's God sitting right here and the Lord's sitting right here beside of him. And I can just imagine right now. Just punching him in the side. Just punching him in the side. And the Lord said, what you want, Daddy? Son, I think it's about time. You need to go get your children. You need to go get your brothers and your sisters. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's my brother. If you're saved, he's your brother. And you're his sister. And I'm his brother. And he says, son, you just go on and get them. They done had enough. They've been faithful to me. And I know there's some down there thinks they coming. Then he says over that in Matthew so chapter 7, I think it's chapter 6, in verse 21, 22, something like that. He's going to say, well, yeah, I know some of y'all have prophesied in my name. Y'all went out here and y'all have done this in my name. And y'all have claimed y'all have done all of these things. You went out and you healed people in my name and all of that. But you forgot about me. You forgot about your own self. And bringing your own self to me. Says, yes, you brought people to me. And I've healed them. And I've touched them. And you've prophesied in my name. But you never asked me to be your Savior. You never asked me to be your Savior. Never asked me to be your Lord. So since you have not asked me, ye workers of iniquity, depart from me. For I never knew you. You know, we can carry people to the Lord. We can carry like carrying people to the hospital. But if we don't get out of the automobile at the hospital, at the emergency room, and walk with them in, then they have no idea who brought them. It's the same way with the Lord. Yes. I brought them to you, Lord. Because they was hurting. They was sick. And Lord, you helped them. You touched the bodies. You raise the dead. You open blinded eyes. But yet, you're going to tell me that I forgot about you. I see why your name is not here. So if your name is not here, you must forget about me. You forgot about your own condition. How many people's in that situation today? They don't even know it, but they are. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we thank you for the message, Lord God, that you give our hearts tonight. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful and this beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for where you have come by and you've touched our hearts today. Now, Lord, we just ask the people tonight, if it's anything that has upon their heart, Lord, if they just know somebody that they need to come to, and Father, that they need to come and ask for thy help, and leading them and speaking to them this week about talking to them, or inviting them to church, or just calling them and just tell them, says, you know something, I can't stand it no longer. I just got to tell somebody how good the Lord has been to me this year so far. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.